Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox. We've been looking at the extraordinary relationship between Barnabas and Paul. We've looked in two previous recordings at the fact that Barnabas had incredible vision for Paul, as he was Saul then in Acts chapter 9. And then not only did Barnabas have a great vision for him at times when no one else did, he spent time patiently training Saul so that he could become effective. Finally, we see all of this paying off in Acts chapter 13, when God chooses Barnabas and Saul via the Holy Spirit for a great, new, unprecedented work. They are sent off, as it says in verse 3 of chapter 13. After they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. And they went, sent by the Holy Spirit, down to Seleucia and on to Cyprus, Salamis, and they came eventually to Paphos. An extraordinary event happens there where a sorcerer, an attendant of the proconsul Sergius Paulus, opposes Paul and Barnabas and tries to turn the proconsul from the faith. And Saul, who is also called Paul in verse 9, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You're a child of the devil, an enemy of everything that is right, full of all kinds of deceit and trickery." And he tells him, "You're going to be blind, not able to see the light of the sun." Immediately mist and darkness overcame him. He groped around, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. The proconsul sees what happens and believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. What do we see here? What we see is Barnabas stepping back. We see the humility of Barnabas, an impressive humility. Barnabas is the senior of the two men. Not only that, but Cyprus, where they are, is Barnabas' own turf, so to speak. In Acts 4, verse 36, we learn that that is where he is from. But Barnabas does not stand in the way of Paul. He does not stand in the way of Paul speaking up. He is not threatened by Paul's boldness. Indeed, it is his boldness that seems to indicate Barnabas understands that it is Paul's time. We will look at two other things in further recordings, but today we're going to focus on this boldness. Paul speaks up even though Barnabas is there. I don't think Paul is being arrogant. For some reason, he feels and senses God's calling. Paul's conviction in this situation overcomes any temerity he might have had, any feeling that perhaps this was Barnabas' call. He can't stop himself speaking up. He confronts Elymas. He pronounces God's judgment, and a miracle happens. Paul's boldness indicates to Barnabas that it is time for Barnabas to step back. Barnabas does not appear to have any struggle with this. He is willing and ready to let Paul speak up. Some people think that Saul took the name Paul after this encounter with the attendant of Sergius Paulus. Perhaps it marked something important in Saul's life, coming to realize that now he was ready in some way. We don't know for sure, but perhaps this change of name marked the coming of age of Saul. He was finally ready to go beyond his mentor. Evidence of his readiness is seen in his self-motivated conviction that leads him to speak up boldly, just in fact as Barnabas had spoken up boldly for him in Acts chapter 9. What we notice is that a Barnabas in our lives makes us bold. I struggle with boldness from time to time. I think most of us do. Do you struggle to be bold, to speak up for God? I'd suggest that if you've had a Barnabas in your life that has expressed vision for you, has taught you, then you'll find yourself being bold. What a good incentive to find a Barnabas. I want to live a bold Christian life because that's the way Jesus was and that's the way we will have an impact for Jesus. Then I need a person of vision. I need a person to train me, and so do we all. Well, next time we'll look at Paul's power. Until then, I hope you have a wonderful day and God bless.